Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich savings plan.
Drone warfare is becoming an increasing feature of the Ukraine war, with President Zelensky warning today that war is coming back to Russia after drone attacks on Moscow. Mr. Zelensky said attacks on Russian territory were an inevitable, natural and absolutely fair process of the war between the two countries. Meanwhile, Ukraine's coastal region of Odessa was rattled by Russian drones today, hitting grain storage facilities, the grain port of Ismail, an inland port near NATO member Romania, was the main target of Moscow's drone attack. About 40,000 tons of grain destined for export was damaged in that attack. Well, for more on this drone element of the of warfare between Russia and Ukraine, I'm joined by aviation expert, former Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Byrne. Kevin, thank you very much indeed for joining us. It's I'm sure you're watching with interest here these drone attacks and how they're being deployed. What about this one, first of all, today on Odessa, the Russian attack, grain stores destroyed?
It's an easy target and a soft target, you see. The Russians have been doing things that are different than the Ukrainians who are replying to this. The Russians, for the big targets, have been using their bombers, the Tupolev 95s and 22s, and they're firing big caliber cruise missiles, which fire a good distance and are quite heavy on explosives. But they're being used for what you might call targets of good quality. The grain storage areas are much easier to hit with the Iranian drones because they can flood the place with them. They fly on a GPS targeting. They know where they are because, of course, both sides have very good maps of each other. They know the targets where they are, and it's easy to update them in that regard. And they're soft targets. There wouldn't be much by the way of defense around things like grain storage areas. And once they catch fire, of course, you know, they're very spectacular, and they destroy very quickly what they're trying to export. So they're soft targets. They're exactly what I expected to do. Once the agreement fell apart in terms of exports, this was going to happen, and it did. But just one point, the Russian strategic bombers don't go very far into the Ukrainian airspace because they're quite very much afraid of what has been given to the Ukrainians in Western air defense terms. So they only fly in 50 or 60 kilometers, launch their big missiles when they have them, and they don't have that many left of them. And then they return to base, as it were, in the main part of
Russia. But it's intriguing, though, isn't it? You might say they're soft targets, which they are, obviously, but the consequences are devastating, are they? Aren't they?
Yes.
Because and the strategy behind them as well, Kevin, because President Zelensky of Ukraine is saying that Russia, with these attacks on the grain storage, for example, in Odessa, it's an attack on global food security. That's what he's saying.
Indeed. Yes, and it gets world headlines. An attack on a train station in certain parts of Ukraine mightn't, but this gets world headlines, and it's exactly what Putin wants to do. What he didn't expect, though, was a return by use of Ukrainian drones, and they've embraced them in many ways, and indeed they've put into production two or three different types of drones in the last number of months, and they seem to be able to cross the border and attack the very heart of the Kremlin, which is a strange one for those who look at these things.
What do you make of that? What do you make of that Ukraine strategy to go and use their own drones and attack places in the Kremlin and Moscow?
It's a strange one, but I discounted it first. I was discussing it with a former colleague of mine, a retired colonel, over the weekend, and we wondered whether special forces doing these kind of things. But in fact, some news has come out through the New York Times and elsewhere that they've got a number of types of drones made in Ukraine. One is called the Bober, otherwise known as Beaver, and it can fly for hundreds of kilometers. And it was put in place with a small explosive charge, and this was seen really attacking over the Kremlin. Firstly, on May the 3rd, and I discounted that. It looked like fireworks. They're not very powerful. They don't, you know, cause much damage. But my goodness, they bring the war home. And since that date in May the 3rd, we've had six attacks, a number on the Kremlin. Some airfields have been attacked as well. Fuel storage depots. And the Russians claim to have shot down six or seven as well. So they seem to have quite a few of them.
And what did you call them, Kevin? The Bover drones, is that right?
Yeah, Bover is the name of it. Okay. Beaver in Ukrainian.
And where would they be operated from, I wonder?
Across the border in Ukraine, believe it or not, there's two ways of you can either put a camera on them, as they were doing in the early part of the war, and keep tabs on it and fly it literally below 1,000 feet up the rivers, up the roads, that kind of thing. It'll fly for something like 5 hours, so it's about 100 knots. It's not very fast, but it's very stealthy. It'll be quite difficult to pick out on radar. It's about half the size of a small aircraft that you might see. In
and if it's flown below 1,000 feet, it's more difficult to pick out on radar. Is that the logic? Yeah.
Exactly. And they have a second type, which is even more advanced. It's called the UJ-22, and it can fly at least 6 hours and at least 500 knots as well. And it'll carry a warhead of about 15 or 16 or 20 kilos, which is, you know, enough to make a bang, but not cause serious loss of life.
But as you say, it brings the war home to Muscovites or Russian people. How do you have any idea as to how expensive they would be?
No, they're probably $50,000-$60,000 each. You know, they're at that cost. It's good. And the more you make of them, the cheaper they are. But they put aside $1 billion to make a production line of drones in the Ukraine. Don't forget, Ukraine before used to make Russian aircraft, Russian helicopters. They made very good transport aircraft as well. And they rebuilt tanks. They've got quite a good industry before the war in doing that. And they used to export widely. So they're quite capable of doing it. But the Russians are now afraid, of course. Once you start putting attacks like that into the city centre in a place like the Kremlin or anywhere around Moscow, you've got the air raid sirens. That is what upsets, you know, the national public. The whole psyche changes once the air raid sirens go, and you must go into your shelters. So the war is coming home in a way.
Really,
that hasn't
even
so
for a drone as light as that, which you describe.
Yes, indeed. But I mean, one I think was used on Vnukovo Airport, which is a civil airport, which I wouldn't be in favour of course, and that shut it down for a number of hours. But attacking military targets like fuel storage or military airfields, you know, it's a military target quite good. You can't take a risk because once you start, once four or five of these things swamp your air defences, if they're not easy to see or shoot down, you've lost some part of the component part of that war, no matter how little damage is physically done by the attacks themselves.
Can I tap your expertise in terms of the strategy behind drone use? I mean, in one sense, for Ukraine, it's good for them, they feel, to bring this war to Russian territory. On the other hand, though, I just wonder if it gives Vladimir Putin cause to say, look at now, they're attacking us on our Russian soil, which is what I was saying along.
Yeah, that is the danger, in fact. This is a bit like what happened in World War II when, for example, the British or the Americans couldn't do anything on the mainland of Europe, you know, to attack the forces which had occupied Europe then. So they're going to get them back through the air. And this is exactly a modern version, a cheap version of that, if you will. But you tend to lose. If you attack civilians and, you know, if you happen to hit maybe a hospital or a school in Russia, your NATO partners and your European friends and the Americans and so forth, it might turn public opinion against the war that is being conducted at the moment. You know, the Ukrainians are very much the underdogs, and they've got very good support from all parts of the world. You don't want to alienate that by attacking civilian targets and killing what we would see as innocent people and cause war crimes. So there's a limit to what they can do, and they have to be extremely careful as to how they push this matter to the end game.
Finally, some aspects of this drone warfare are surprising, as you say, especially the Ukrainian element on Russian soil. Do you think this is going to be more and more a feature of the war as it goes on?
I do. It's not going to really, it's not going to liberate the Donbass, for example. It's not going to have a large effect on the what looks like a World War One type of scenario that's going on now, inch by inch. You know, the heavy campaign that's going ahead, very much off the television station to some extent now. This is just an element of it, another element to bring it to world attention, as far as I can see. So it's not going to win the war, but it might just bring people to a peace talk if anytime soon. We would hope that will be the case.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for sharing your expertise with us. That's aviation expert and former Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Byrne. Thank you for joining us on the programme.